There's a wide range of warts to be considered here.
Right on, Daryl and Ozzy. Sorry, we had the Hey Hey It's Saturday 50-year reunion show this week. It's just an exciting time, really, here in Australia, entertainment-wise. Memories. That's baffling to anyone overseas, I'm sure. Anyway, hello, this is Dad Pants. No Montezuma this week. He's fighting that battle. He's fighting that sleep battle. I think things are a bit of a struggle at the moment. And I did put the call out, if anyone's got any tips for Monty, help the baby sleep. It's a restless baby. It's a cranky baby. I did put the call out, and no one answered, which tells me none of you care about Monty. None of you like him. And none of you want to help him. That's what that says to me. Oh, well. It's a bit of a shame, really. I thought, you know, I thought the world was a nicer place than that. Let me just put it that way. Anyway, I still talked to the Pants panel this week. Just to obviously keep the dadness going. You got to keep the dad momentum going. And in our conversation, we referenced the dad commandments quite a few times. So I thought maybe before we get into that conversation, it's probably time that I gave her a reminder of all the dad commandments so that you're up to speed on the dad commandments. Now, the dad commandments are a list of, I won't say rules, but dad guidelines. Good guidelines for being a dad that you should try and stick to. You know, if you want supreme dadness in your life, I guess. So, dad commandment number one, and this is probably the one that, you know, we found ourselves referring to the most, is know thy limitations. Don't let your eyes be bigger than your stomach in a DIY sense. But it doesn't just have to be DIY, it's just anything. Like, don't overestimate your abilities because you're going to look like a bit of a goog when it doesn't come off. And we've all known dads who shot a little high, like aimed a little higher than they could jump, I guess, is a way of describing it. Dad commandment number two, tight arsery never goes unpunished. Yeah, it's something about dads and tight arsery being, and by that, I guess maybe, I don't know if that's a term used in other countries, tight arsery means being a little kind of mean with your money, being a little tight with your money, not willing to spend. Budget dads are not popular dads. Let's put it that way. Obviously, you've got to do what you've got to do with the funds you have available, but I think this is more along the lines of, you know, when you're tight for the sake of it, I guess. Dad commandment number three, thou shalt always act blokier around tradies. And this is obviously something we've all seen. I mean, males do it, but dads do it particularly because when you get to kind of dad status, you wanna protect your manliness, your man status. And I guess because by virtue of the fact that you're older when you're a dad, you're worried about being alphaed, usurped by younger bucks coming through. Or maybe there's just something about people who, you know, use their hands, do tough work, and whose limitations in, you know, physical senses are probably higher than yours as a dad. It's intimidating. So we need this kind of posturing dance where, you know, the voice gets a little deeper and you go, oh yeah, and you might act like you know a little bit more than you probably do. Oh yeah, right, eh? Oh yeah, that's a good choice there. I might not have done that, but oh yeah, that works too. Yeah, not bad. Yeah, I don't mind the corner here. You did a good job there, mate. Yeah. We've all seen it. Dad commandment number 4, always acknowledge comedy, no matter what the circumstances. Now, you know, as a dad, your primary purpose is to parent a child and to, you know, try and teach some life lessons. However, dads also appreciate comedy. So there's that inner battle of, you know, when perhaps your child is being naughty but funny as well. How do you deal with that? I think you need to find a way to, you know, let the child know they've done the wrong thing. But also, you know, you can't let a good comedy moment go unnoted. Because comedy's important. I genuinely feel comedy makes the world go round. Have you looked around this world? It's a fucking shite fest at times. Comedy is imperative. It's so important. You can't let comedy moments slip. Ever. Dad commandment number 5. Thou dost not have to cling on to Father's Day tat. Now what that means is that you don't have to feel guilty getting rid of crappy Father's Day presents after a little while. If they're serving no purpose and you know that they've just gone down to the Father's Day stall at school and bought the first thing they've seen. Okay? You don't have to feel guilty because more than likely, not much effort's gone into picking that present. It had the word dad on it. And that's what why it got chosen. World's greatest dad mug. World's greatest dad keyring. World's greatest dad hat. I would keep the hat, actually, if they have those. But definitely, like, at a certain point, you've got enough dad mugs. You know, if you've got more than, say, 2, every time you walk around having a cup of coffee, you've got world's greatest dad mug in front of you. Everyone's going to think that you've got some sort of complex or some sort of fixation on the greatness of your dad work. Anyway, dad commandment number 6, thou shalt forgive thy family their foibles. Now, what does that mean? That means that because you're a dad, if your family does stuff to annoy you, upset you, you know, repeated behavior that gets on your goat, you need to sometimes let some of that stuff slide because you're just going to end up looking like the crazy ranty guy who won't stop yelling about empty packets being left in the pantry or shoes being left in doorways, walkways. You know, you're just going to end up looking like the madman. And then, you know, you can't respect a madman. And your dadding certainly suffers if you're perceived as a nutter. It's got to be said. Number 7, thou shalt not furnish thy home with empty threats. Now, that just means that after a certain point, if you keep threatening the same kind of punishment to your kids and not following through, yeah, they're going to pick up on that very quickly. You know, they're well aware of what you're willing to do as a parent. So don't overstretch verbally what you say you're going to do if you have no intention of meeting it. You know, they know when to call bluffs. Don't give them the chance to call your bluff. Dad commandment number 8, thou shalt always leave an event when your kids are having the most fun. Now, yeah, that's more circumstantial than anything else. It just seems to happen. Maybe it's some sort of universal cosmic timing thing where dads subconsciously sense when kids are having peak fun, and the dads then get a sense of, well, time to get going. Yep, nah, time to go. Yep, come on. No, come on. Gotta get home, got stuff to do, mate, come on. Dad commandment number 9, the number of dads around a barbecue must directly correlate to the amount of hot plate space being used. There are still experiments going on, I think, around the number of dads around a barbecue, number of hot plates being used, how many different types of meat are on the grill at the same time. I think that's something that hasn't been factored into our calculations yet. You know, if you've got some sausages going, some steaks, some chops, maybe a couple of kebabs, they're all going to need different time lengths on the barbecue. So maybe the number of dads you got around is, you know, you got to factor in the different kinds of meats, because some dads are going to have to watch the sausages, some are on the, you know, some are on the kebabs. Oh, anyway, research continues. Dad commandment number 10, do not expect thy toilet time to be venerated. Now, you know, it's a busy world. And dads, you know, we got to work, we got to do chores around the house, we've got to try and spend time with our kids and make sure we're engaged with them. It's bloody non-stop, I tells you. So all you really want sometimes is, let's say 20 minutes, depending on what your diet's like. Let's say 20 minutes on the toilet, just by yourself without interruption. But you have to remember, your kids aren't seeing things from your perspective. They're not seeing how valuable that 20-minute toilet time is to you in terms of being left the fuck alone for a little while. They're not seeing that. They're just seeing, oh, I want this. Oh, I want that. Oh, hey, I got a question, and I'll be damned if I'm waiting 10 minutes to ask it. I've thought of this question now, so I'll be asking it now. Don't expect your toilet time to be respected by children. Dad commandment number 11, thy car is not a TARDIS. This is obviously a very transportation-based commandment, but there's something about dads and thinking they can fit things in their car that they just can't fit in their car. Now, is this because, you know, a lot of dads have been raised watching Doctor Who and maybe have a kind of strange inner sense that maybe their car's bigger on the inside than on the outside too? Anyway, there's nothing funnier than seeing a dad trying to cram something into a car that doesn't fit and a family standing to the side just watching and potentially wondering how they're going to get home. And dad commandment number 12, thy sneeze must be a shotgun blast in a silent night. If you're a dad and your sneeze doesn't scare the shit out of everyone, then, you know, you've got work to do. You've got perhaps some lung capacity exercises you need to be doing. There's voice training that actors do. There is kind of nose, mouth, diaphragm. These are instruments. You can really train up all these things to be able to be very powerful in your expressiveness. And dads express power through their sneezes. So look, there's no judgment here, but if your sneeze doesn't, you know, send the cats running, and anyone in the house with you kind of jump out of their chair in fright, then just acknowledge that, you know, you're a work in progress and some things need to be done. So, they're the dad commandments so far, but we're always looking to add to them. If you have any thoughts about what we can do to add to them, send them in. I mean, if you don't want to help Monty with his problem, you're not likely to send in a dad commandment to us. But, you know, you never know. You ask these things in hope sometimes. I'll stop being passag and let's get on with talking to the pants panel. As I say, the dad commandments get tested a few times in this chat. And here I am with the daddinest dads you could possibly imagine. It's the pants panel, the dad experts. Matt, Rich, Ben, good evening.
G'day.
G'day.
Hello.
What's the general vibe? Dad levels high, medium? What are we talking?
I'm going to say level 3, medium brown, dad.
Well, anyone else? Anyone else got a mood to share with us? What's the mood, Wigo? You're about to say something.
Well, yeah, I'm about nearly to well done. You know what I mean? Like I'm
toasted.
I'm pretty toasted. And it's there are a multitude of different reasons for that. But, you know, coping pretty well. Got some new beers. Oh, well, yeah, picked up some beers today, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Oh, should I do the jingle and get in trouble from my wife?
Nah,
please.
Maybe
it's
I'll
just
do,
nice.
Let's do one.
Just got...
Let's do one right here. She can't get... If it's off the cuff, she can't get annoyed, surely.
Oh. What's Wigo drinking? What's Wigo drinking?
Anyone? Yeah, that's the one.
I am drinking the Mountain Culture Status Quo Pale Ale.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Tonight.
Rocking all over the world there, Wigan.
Sounds very try hard.
It is. and it's delicious. So, yeah, very happy with that. It's really... I've been waiting for this all day.
Now, I appreciate that you were trying to be descriptive of your mood.
Mm.
But isn't well done pretty shameful as far as dads are concerned? No dad wants their gear well done.
Well, that is true. And there are a couple of reasons why I'm a bit shameful at the moment. Now, one of which is...
Forgot to wear pants to work?
No, that doesn't shame me at all, Stu. You should know better than that.
I do actually know that. That wouldn't, yeah.
I've been doing some work around the house, as our dad pants panel know. We've had our bathrooms renovated, and we are now coming to the finishing touches of those bathrooms. And I am painting the ceilings and walls of the bathroom, and that they're only it's only a small space, but it is painting is not my favorite thing. And that's what I wanted to discuss with you guys tonight. If we can we roll straight into this, Stu?
Roll straight into it. Why not?
So my question to you guys is, painting is something that everyone thinks that they can do because it's a pretty simple, you know, in theory, it's a pretty simple job. You get some paint, you get a couple of brushes, you get some drop sheets, and you paint, and away you go. Now, it isn't that easy. There are holes to fill. There are things to sand back. There are edges that need to be perfectly straight when you have a square set ceiling. And all of these things combine.
Well, if you were the previous owners of my house, you wouldn't think any of that.
I was going to ask that, but yes.
I think that's it's a really interesting point you've raised here, Wiggins. And I think that's something that I've always been really... And it's something I often will ask tradies, including my brother and stuff like that. And... almost universally, they say they'd rather get a painter in to do the job rather than do it themselves. Like, I've met only a couple of tradies that go, oh, yeah, well, I've done it a few times, so I'm pretty confident with it. But most of them, like, you know, I mean, like, I'm not talking, obviously, painters, but obviously, you know, your chippies and stuff like that. There's like, you know what? It's just to get it right, you need to have such a good hand and such a good eye, and you need that practice and that experience that it's, if you want it done properly, you just got to get it done properly.
Exactly.
You can get there. Like, you know, I've definitely improved. I've done a fair bit in this house. But, man, I look back at my first efforts and it's just like, I'm going to have to do that again sometime very shortly. Like, I just can't even look at it. Like, yeah.
My dad always had good advice. He always said, just do the shittest room first. So the room that's not going to have the most eyes on it or the one you don't spend much time in it, you do that one first and then you look at it and you're like, oh, made a mistake there, they're my errors. What are my errors?
Yep.
Okay, I won't do that when I do the other rooms.
Yep.
Right. So is your quandary that you got tricked into thinking it would be easy? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, look, I've done a bit of painting before, and I think in the times that I've done painting before, the house has been... It's like when you move into a new home, and you go, you know what? This needs a lick of paint. There's nothing in the house... So it's actually it is like a blank canvas. So you can splosh a bit of paint here, splosh a bit of paint there. It's not going to get on, you know, your leather lounge or your whatever it is.
Or your children.
Yeah.
Or your $60,000 bathroom renovation.
Exactly. thank you to whoever it was that invented water-based paint. because
it's
is
very good, isn't it?
So much better. But the thing is, it's all the fiddly bits, and it's the.
It's time,
I even got so
it?
Frustrated. It's the time.
It's time. You need to give yourself way more time than you expect.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I even had to get the hairdryer out. this was last night's effort. So we got to the point where our shutters, where we got some new shutters put in, and we had some blinds up, and I had to pull the blinds down and fill sand and paint over the holes from the previous blinds before the new shutters went in.
Mm-hmm.
I found out about that on Tuesday afternoon, and the shutter people were coming at 10 o'clock this morning. It's now Thursday, so I basically had 40 hours, including sleep and all the other things that we do. And so I had the hairdryer out. I had the builder's bog out. Have you guys ever used builder's bog?
What is builder's bog?
It's awesome.
It's putty, isn't it?
It's amazing. But it's super quick drying. And so I watched a YouTube video. And I thought, okay, cool. That's really good advice. You've got to mix it quick. You've got to have everything ready to go. Rock and roll. No worries. So to putty up this hole, I mixed up the builder's bog. I puttied up the hole all within the space of 2.5 minutes. And by the time I got around to filling the second hole, the rest of my builder's bog had gone rock hard. It was.
I might have to put that at the start if you don't
know. Yeah, that's right.
I'll clip out the builders and just have it. My bog went rock
hard. 2 minutes.
So it's all those little frustrating things that build up and build up and build up. And then, my wife is quite a. She's quite particular about, and look, I've gotten to that stage as well, but it doesn't help when she's trying to point out the things that need to get fixed. And I know that they need to get fixed because I can see that they need to get fixed. But when she comes in after I've been painting and says, well, all of this needs to be redone, and it's like, well, yep, I know.
But have you got a two-tone going on, Wiggins? Like, have you got, the dark walls and light ceiling or...?
Yeah, we have a sage wall and a white ceiling, and it's square set, so there is no cornice in between. It's just wall into ceiling, and oh my goodness gracious!
I think cornice is worse because you got to do the double edge.
Yeah, true.
Because it's a lot of At least with a square set, you can kind of get away with a bit of taping if you're really keen. But yeah, doing the cornicing that's just a nightmare.
Yeah. This is the Paint Pals podcast with the paint panel. It would seem.
Dad paints.
So, can you? Maybe I didn't quite understand. Why was your time frame so short?
Okay, so they had called me and said we can get there on Thursday morning.
Oh,
we can get there in December.
Oh,
and it's like, okay, right. So, we'd already put it off for 12 weeks because of all of the COVID business. And I understand that was pressure that I put on myself. I could have waited till December, but I didn't want to at the end. So, they're in, they're done, it's all happy times. Now,
hold that thought just for 2 seconds.
Will do.
Is this a potential dad commandment along the lines of, where your impatience gets you, I wonder. Or have we covered that already? Because it sounds like the only reason you didn't wait till December is because you didn't feel like it, rather than any strong practical reason.
I suppose there are a couple of reasons why. Like we really wanted to, we'd already waited 3 or 4 months for these things to go in, and didn't really want to wait any longer. But also, I think I probably could have dealt with it, but I think my wife would have. She would have preferred to have them in earlier rather than later.
Fair enough.
So which dad commandment are we looking at there? Are we kind of keeping any amount of money is worth?
One.
I know, but are we kind of crossing over into the do any amount of money is worth keeping your wife happy?
Oh,
know thy limitations, or which commandment should you obey?
Well, I think I've broken one of them in regards to know thy limitations. You know, like I've really, I think I now fully understand that I'm not a painter.
Yeah.
Like the middle, the body of the wall looks great and the body of the ceiling looks great. But as soon as they those two pieces meet, it's like, oh, an amateur did this.
Yeah, I wonder, this is probably too specific for a dad commandment, but like the bull at the gate will need to repaint, maybe. Something about impatience.
I don't know if I've told you guys, but my wife has a nickname for me when I do jobs around the house.
Yeah.
Do it again, Ben.
No job's worth doing unless you do it twice. Maybe that's a good
Yeah, if you're going to do it, you'll have to do it twice. So,
no household chore is worth doing unless you do it twice.
How do you feel about being called "Do It Again, Ben"? Do you ever get the feeling to just say, "How about I call you Do Nothing, Linz"? Or is that doesn't do anything? Any handiwork around the house, Linz?
Never tried Linz.
Never puts out the bins, Linz.
Is there anything like that that goes through your mind of like, cool?
Yeah, it does. I'm not going to lie. One of my neighbours, the reason this came about is that one of my neighbours at one stage was called Half Job Rob. And so we were discussing that, and then all of a sudden I became Do It Again Ben, and it's kind of stuck. But what I will tell you is part of the reason why I'm so frustrated and a bit well done is that I've been dealing with an injury as well over this past couple of weeks. I told you I was going to the podiatrist, and the reason I was going to the podiatrist was because I had an outbreak of warts on my foot.
Ooh.
Yes. Now, I've literally been in a boot for the last 2 weeks, like a one of those moon boot, and that's very difficult to paint in.
Yeah,
oh, paint in
I also mowed the lawn in it the other day.
Oh,
wow!
That would have looked like a real bloody martyr, though.
Oh, 100%. Oh, hey, I was mowing the lawn going, I'm okay, this isn't hurting, but geez, it's a good look, isn't it? He's so keen to get out there and do his lawn.
Were you grimacing every now and then just to, you know, get the points?
Yep.
Or people were thinking, he's injured, but never take out the bins, Linz has made him go out and do the mowing. What I found interesting there is when you said you had warts on your feet,
yep.
I went, ooh. And there wasn't really any reaction from Matt and Rich, which suggests to me that they were just thinking, oh, yeah, you know, foot warts. You got those?
I was just trying to keep things on the medium brown side. I didn't want to go dark on that one.
Didn't want to overheat it.
No, yeah.
I just want to know how you get warts or an outbreak of warts on your foot.
Yeah.
Yep, okay, good question. The quickest...
Toes sucked by a frog.
That's where my mind went.
The quickest answer is I had a huge blister on my big toe about 4 years ago.
that is a very quick answer. Okay, four-year story coming up, everyone.
That's right, four-year story.
I'd grow past Simpson.
It never healed properly.
All right.
Why?
And I have obviously gotten the HPV has come in through there and has sat dormant, and then all of a sudden it's just kind of gone, you know what, let's do some warts. So okay. That's
did you ever ask your doctor, excuse me, why won't this heal after 4 years?
Well, I thought it had just turned into a huge callus, right? I hadn't realised that it had actually turned into a wart because it had started as a blister, and I thought, well, it's just healed over as a callus rather than healing over into, you know, soft skin. It's gone, oh, okay, well, I need to be hardened in this particular area. Didn't realise. Mm. And then it turned into, because it was never painful, it was just there. So,
well, I mean, we've all heard the story a thousand times, the old blister that you thought was a callus but ended up being a wart.
I'm worried about mine now because I've got one that's been on my knuckle for about 20 years and I've just kind of accepted that it's part of me now. But now I'm worried.
I'd go and get it checked out.
A 20-year-old knuckle wart, yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you say it like that, it sounds weird.
So freeze or burn? Freeze or burn?
I used Wart Off.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yes.
New sponsor. So you've gone from your face cream to your Wart Off.
That's right. Do not get them mixed up.
Did it work? Here's your testimonial.
Now, it did. And tonight, I've literally only just gotten back from the podiatrist. I got home at about 8:30 from the podiatrist because the big toe...
Podiatry?
Yeah. Well, I asked the same question.
24-hour podiatry?
I asked the same question. I'm like, why are you still open at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night? And he's like...
Late night shopping.
Yeah.
I have Fridays off and I get all the tradies coming home on a Thursday night. Oh, so he's been doing that for years, supposedly. Good man. Very good man.
Thursday tradie bunions.
Goes hunting. There you go.
Can that be the title?
Sure.
But one of my prouder moments was tonight when he's looking at my warts and saying, wow, you've done a real job on these. You've done a really good job. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, we don't usually see warts go this mental. It's usually really difficult to get rid of them by just using Wart Off. So you've done a really good job on these. And I felt really proud after doing such a shitty job at the painting that at least I was able to do a good job with my warts.
Said the doctor said, I'm sure he didn't use the term. He said,
"Let's just appreciate that
they've gone mental." And that's a good thing. Is that
is a good thing?
Why is it a good thing?
So basically, usually Wart Off doesn't really, like, because it's an over the counter thing. It's not that. It usually doesn't work that well. So it's worked really well in this instance, and I've killed the warts. And
warts and all.
Warts and all, that's right, Ellis. Spot on.
Now listen, Matt, you didn't give that amazing sentence any space to live or breathe.
It was an amazing sentence.
I was bad at the painting, but at least I was good with the warts. Sensational.
See, both of those things happen.
Might have to be a nice graphic quote that I put up on the socials.
Right, yeah. It might also be a very specific dad commandment. Bad at painting, good at warts. It's a balance.
That could be sorely misinterpreted, though. There's a wide range of warts to be considered here. I think we need to just hands off the warts and be.
But listen, and this is where, you know, as a dad, I had gone into a situation feeling down because I hadn't done the best job, but then to be filled with hope and filled with confidence by someone that I don't know who just went, you know what? See those warts? You did a really good job on those warts. Oh. It was nice. It was reaffirming.
Oh man. If you told me half an hour ago that this is what we'd be talking about, I would have declared you loopy.
Life affirming wart positivity from the Dr. Fuligo. Yeah.
All right. Now, we thought when we were trying to come up with some content that Wigo's painting story might lead nicely into Rich talking about some stuff going on at his house. We didn't factor the warts in, but
we never do. They get in, they're in there, you don't realise they're going to be there. They just rear their ugly heads when you least expect them 20 years later on your wrist. Yeah.
That's right.
Shimmy around the warts, Rich, and let us know what you're up to.
Well, I suppose that my big thing is all around that the DIY process as well, and understanding that, knowing your limitations. And I threw it out there to the panel in the group chat just a week or so ago about the building your own cubby house. Is this getting too ambitious? Like, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, a slap together kind of thing, which is going to fall apart over the course of the summer. I want something which is going to preferably last and possibly even double up into a bit of a little tool shed at some point in the future, you know, trying to do something a little bit worthwhile. Am I biting off more than I can chew? If I was, we're talking do it all yourself.
Well, you've already established a certain standard that you're willing to accept.
Absolutely.
In terms of the cubby house's, you know, quality. So,
yeah,
is that a standard you can meet?
Well, I don't know. This is the thing. Like, I kind of look at some plans and stuff, and some days I go, oh, yeah, I reckon I can do that. And then other days I'm like, oh, sounds like a lot of work. And kind of just, I suppose, bringing those two together, kind of finding that happy balance is my
So is issue. This is the question of what is your time worth?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, see, normally that's my rationale. Like anything which is going to save me any less than $50 an hour, I won't bother with. So if it's going to take me 4 hours to do something and I can pay a tradie $200 to do the same job, I'll pay a tradie $200 to do the same job. Like, that's not a drama.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. You know, that's pretty much the way I can rationale. Plus, you know, you've got to think about materials and whatever else, but, you know, I think that's well worthwhile as far as I'm concerned for the mucking around. Like, we've just had our floors done as well, so, you know, there's been a lot going on around this house. We just had our floors done, and, you know, it was just the laminate vinyl stuff that goes down in, like, tiles.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's going to cost around $3,000 for the materials, and then, you know, you've got to buy the other bits and bobs. And the quote we got come in was just over $5,000. And I'm like, you know what? For the muck around, it's not worth it. Like, it took him 2 days as a professional to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had our floors.
And he came
best
in.
Best decision you've ever made, Ellis.
Oh, yeah, we did our floors a year ago. The floors we got a year ago was the same. Where when we bought them, the people were like, oh, yeah, you can put them together and just, you know, go online. You'll be able to see how to put it together. We just looked at it and I said, I don't want to do, like, half of it and then go, oh no, I've done it backwards. Or and then we got a tradie and it took him like 4 hours and we were like, that would have taken us 3 days at most, breaking
and
stuff,
would have been halfway
doing it wrong
down.
There would be like things, there'd be bows in it, it'd be floating in some parts and not in others. It's just
there'd just be like a white wooden thing for some reason.
I'll put my keys under one of the floorboards or something like that.
But I suppose the thing is, the difference between this is that because it's an exterior structure, and if it all, like in a worst case scenario, I've got some good firewood there. This is my kind of rationale behind it. Like, you know, might spend many hours, and the many hours I might spend, I'd actually be quite happy doing that. I can justify that as hobby time. It's not like I'm reducing the value of the property or anything like that by doing it. So I think that it's that slightly different one, but it is still going to be a pretty significant investment. Like, it's not going to be nice and cheap or anything like that.
But what else could you be doing with that hobby time, I guess, is
a question. I don't know. Probably not much.
Playing golf by yourself?
Playing golf by myself.
Playing
watching
golf
cricket.
By yourself.
Well, actually, we've got the outdoor telly now, so we don't even need to... I can actually watch the cricket while...
It's been confirmed the Ashes are on this year.
Yeah, I've downloaded the Ashes, all the Cricket Australia schedule onto my Outlook account, so it's all synced up, so
beautiful.
No excuses.
I think in my mind, the first commandment is my strongest commandment. I well and truly know my limitations, and I well and truly know that if it starts getting hard or I muck it up even slightly, then I'm going to get stressed and upset. And life's too short. So I would rather pay a tradie. That to me is fine compared to the stress and time.
I would agree with that. With a structure that your children are going to play in for that long a period of time, and knowing that you've got a cannonball of a son, Ellis, you don't want him to lean against a wall.
Yeah. And this is the thing. Like, you know, I'm not... If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it properly. So, I don't know.
I would say all you got to do is work out how long would it take you to do it.
Yeah.
Are you prepared to be patient enough to take your time with it? And what are your skills? You just weigh that up and then work that out. Because if it was me, I would probably do it myself.
Yeah.
Well, but I'd have to get in the mindset of take your time, you dickhead.
Well, my thing is, it's probably less about the actual construction and doing it. It's more around the fucking around of getting the materials and everything.
Right.
Like, yeah, that for me is, feels like the part of the whole process. So, kind of getting, I think once I overcome that hurdle, everything else will go a bit better. I think I'll look, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go down that path of giving it a bash myself, but we'll keep you posted. This could be a little dad pants project we can.
Yeah, an update on going. Just like, yeah, Wigo's face. So I would say, but before you decide all that, surely you got to sit your kids down and get some guarantees out of them, right?
Oh.
How much are you going to use this, really? I want.
Well, this is why I'm thinking dual purpose.
Yeah.
Like, if I can shed it up, even if it's just a, like, you know, garden tool shed, like, you know, it'll be a reasonable size. It'll fit a mower and garden tools and stuff in it.
Yeah.
So something that can dual purpose it would be, is where I'm looking at. But I don't think that'll be an issue. I can see, look, they've got the stuff out there that they play with already. It's not going to be a major. And they're of an appropriate age, so 3 and 6, they're going to be pretty well into it, I think. So I'm not too concerned about that. But I don't know. It just feels like we're spending. I'm worried about spoiling them as well. It probably is more of an issue than anything else.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a wood room.
He has a point.
or is it? Is it going to be. What is your. You will make it out of timber?
Yes.
Or would you. Timber. Okay, it would all be timber. Okay.
I'd try and find asbestos if possible, but, you know, timber will be my second.
Then you won't spoil them.
No.
All right. All I'll say to you is that when we were looking at this current house to buy, there's a cubby house out the back. My younger son got all excited, said, "Oh, yes, this would be awesome. I would love this so much." We bought the house. He went in at once. And now it's my woodshed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think your kids are at the right age, though. I reckon they'll use it a lot.
Yeah.
And then they'll come back to it when they're like teenagers, if it's still, you know, multi-purpose. It'll be a little space to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, make sure it's far enough away from the house that they can smoke bongs in there.
Yes.
And not have the...
Put a little trap door in there.
House.
And you can pretend like you have no idea. Yeah, and you have no idea. Pretend you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. That sounds like a plan. Like, you know, I'd feel negligent as a parent if I wasn't providing them a teenage bong retreat.
Excellent. Yeah,
I love that. I think that's a good 80s movie.
The TBR.
Yeah.
Oh.
Teenage bong retreat.
That's an investment in the future, and we landed somewhere where
please
we've got a decent
me,
answer.
Please
there, I think.
Tell me that jingle plays when you go through the door.
It's just gonna have TBR written on the front, and they'll have no idea what it is.
No, yeah, until forever.
They reach their 15th birthday.
All right, now Matt,
yes,
flagged you had a dad question for us.
Yes, it's topical dad question. Who is the most dad? We might be able to get some kind of scale of dadness in relation to this. Now, last week we went into daylight saving. Hooray! Mm. Everyone put your clocks forward an hour. Now, the most dadness of us will be the person who changed the clocks on the digital clocks, whether it's on the microwave, whether it's on the clock on the wall, who changes the clock the earliest. At what time, how early, do you change the clock for daylight saving? Are you a person that waits for the next day? Because I was talking to some people and they were like, "Oh, so I don't forget, I change them at dinner time the night before." I was like, that's okay. Just, all right. So the earlier you push your clocks forward or reset them back at the end is equal to how you are expressing your dadness. Because I was talking to another friend and they said their dad used to do it a day early. Why? Whoa, I don't know.
Yeah. Is that, see, I was going to say, there has to be some kind of diminishing returns on the earliness. So, you know, too far out. There's a sweet spot,
a day
surely,
early.
Somewhere
I don't know why. Because it's a weekend.
When your dadness reaches its zenith.
That's gone from dadness into OCD of some kind.
Well, their idea was that it was a weekend thing. So rather than try and, I don't know, like, you get jet lag. I've never experienced jet lag from an hour of daylight saving, losing it or gaining it.
Well, it whizzes by pretty fast.
Yeah, exactly. So He used to do it, so you'd start it on the Saturday morning. You would get accustomed. I don't know. But anyway, I was just wondering, like, how early do you change your clocks?
I don't know, but I'm almost guaranteed that the car clock is the last one to be changed
yes.
every time.
Yes, no, that's pretty accurate.
I know exactly when I change my clocks.
Oh.
I think upstairs in his bed, my son is being slowly fading out of existence because I'm clearly not a dad at all.
Oh.
I never change any of the clocks.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, wow.
So Mish does it or they just sit there for months.
They're right 6 months of the year.
6 months of the year, they're right.
A clock in Buckland's house is right 6 months a year.
Oh, I don't know why I'm always late for everything in the summertime.
I just got really anxious, Buckland.
Oh.
That made me anxious.
But you know, like, I know that the clock's wrong. I don't forget that the clock's wrong.
Yeah, but I've slept over at your house, and what happens if, like, I woke up in the middle of the night and went, oh, yep, I'm all good to go, and then find out that the clock's an hour late?
Well, I'd be wondering why you're walking out to look at my microwave rather than the
on your phone. Fair point.
Battery's dead.
It's like Marty McFly at the beginning of Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God, Buckland, I'm late for school. Huey Lewis plays, running out the door on your skateboard.
There was probably before I was with Mish, and no one else kind of drove my car very much. It would legitimately be the wrong time for 6 months of the year. And I couldn't give a bugger.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I remember that I changed my clocks at 9:30 on Saturday night.
Right. Well, I'm going to say to Matt, because he's made me look inadequate there, I'm going to tell him that his damn levels are only at 99% now. So you're not full.
Oh, watch out.
Is that true? I don't believe that. We had a lot of rain on the weekend. All right.
Screenshot coming. Well, that's not going to help any listeners, but...
Well, I'm going to...
Hang on. You made me feel inadequate as a dad. Why didn't you download the app?
You're right. You're 100% right. Exactly. Yeah. And maybe you're 99% right, but yeah. I would check. I'm going to check it in a couple of days and see if the water table hasn't filled up after the amount of rain we had over the weekend, but... Oh, no, I should, as Monty said, I should have an alarm set on my phone that gives me a push notification when they get, oh, my God, it's under 100.
Yeah.
Everyone just shouted all my kids to turn the shower off.
Run through the streets.
Turn the shower off. No, no bathing.
Put your David Foster uniform on and run through the streets
with an axe.
I don't know why, but why not?
Just very quickly, Wiggins, how do you know it's exactly 9:30 or... Was that just on Saturday night, or is that the time you always do it? I wasn't clear on that.
No. So I would usually be a Sunday morning clock changer, but this year I changed my clocks early because we were trying to get the kids into bed because they were faffing around on Saturday night. And I went, right, it's not 9:30, it's 10:30. It's bedtime.
That's very true. Yes, I remember. And my daughter was like, it's 11 o'clock, and I'm like, not, yeah, whatever. Let's call it 11 o'clock. Go to bed.
And so, yeah, I just remember that particular time frame. And then looking at my wife and going, oh, we can't stay up any later than this and watch a show. I need to go to bed. Because I had to go to work next day.
Had to go to work. Right.
Yeah. But Dilly, we I don't know, we generally have the... almost the Greenwich Mean Time thing of changing clocks in order, though. Like, there's the main clock, the central clock through which everything else must pass.
You've got a Greenwich Mean clock in your house.
That's right. So you've got that clock. Like, the first clock to change is always the first clock we change. That's kind of... that signals the beginning or end of daylight saving. And then all other clocks kind of... there's a trickle-down from that, as I say, finishing off in the car clocks. I think microwave and oven will be close second and third.
Yeah.
And then...
So many titles. Trickle Down Clocks is not a bad one.
No, that's right. Oh, dear.
Thanks for listening. And Monty, we hope you're around soon. Goodbye, all.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. if new dad Monty changed his clocks at a different rate now that he's a dad.
I wonder if his oven clock is difficult to set.
Yes, mine, yeah.
It's always a killer.
The oven clock.
I once set a timer instead of changing the clock.
There's nothing worse. Your oven suddenly clicks on. It's like, oh, what's going on? Oh, no!
Why is time going?
Back